Welcome to another episode of this special series of Farmers Inside Track. In today's deep dive into the Autumn 2025 APSA AgriTrends Report, we'll be tackling the dynamics of South Africa's livestock markets. APSA's agricultural economists Marlene Lowe, Kensani Mashambi and Zama Sangweni will join Food for Mzansi's Ivor Price to discuss the key trends, challenges and opportunities facing the beef, pork, mutton and egg markets. Alongside Ivor, they'll offer critical insights into navigating the current market shifts.
So livestock markets have faced big shifts from beef price trends to disease risks and production challenges. What does this mean for farmers and consumers alike? And we'll be unpacking the latest insights from the 2025 autumn edition of APSA AgriTrends, the latest report by all of you just released. Marlene, let's begin with beef prices. And I'm wondering if beef prices increased as expected.
Yeah, Ivor, so last year in our spring edition, we very boldly stated that beef prices and weaner calf prices are going up. And we substantiate that with the fact that interest rates are coming down. We saw a notable decrease in fuel prices. So all of those elements adds an extra stake to the budget every month, or could potentially, depending on your preferences. But we kept on watching and we didn't see that upward scope that we were anticipating. And so in January month, we really delved a little deeper. And our sense is that although there was an improvement in demand or consumers did buy more beef. This was offset by an increase in supply due to the dry conditions that we saw at the start of the 24-25 summer rainfall season. So I think the story there is that producers was still very cautious about what the season could bring. And so there was a degree of increased slaughterings or placements in feedlots because of the fact that that weather was undetermined in the fourth quarter of last year. And so weather has improved. So what we are experiencing is that supply increase in the fourth quarter of last year, still being in our supply chains, what's currently on the retail shelves. Our projections are that that price increase that we anticipated will happen over the coming months. And we are still confident that the interest rates that have decreased, the cutting cycle that we've seen, that will provide support. We are operating at lower fuel costs, so that is providing some relief to the consumers. I think what we've also noted last year was the two-pot retiring
system
that started paying out. And although you wouldn't expect that to have a direct bearing on food consumption, eventually it filters through, right? So if there's consumption on durables that stimulates the economy, eventually you would like to think that filters through all the way down to something like food. So, we think that all those effects are still in play and we are confident that we're seeing those price increases in the coming months.
Well, from beef prices to pork prices, Zama. Mm-hmm. Pork prices stayed in the tight range last year. And I'm wondering what kept them from the big swings.
I think I have the pork question because I probably like bacon the most. But
who doesn't like dolopin?
I think if we consider what happened from 2019 to 2024, you'll see about a 20% increase in pork supplies. So we do consider that there was herd liquidation. So we experienced increased supplies. And then in addition to having those pork numbers or high slaughter numbers, we also saw lower consumer demand, and that was underpinned by very high pressure on purchasing power for consumers. I think meat is not a staple in South Africa. So like Marlene alluded to, you based on your purchasing power, your economic standpoint, you are able to purchase meat or not. Mm. So I think those two factors drove the price dynamics. But what we've seen for pork prices is in 2024 is we've sort of seen stabilized prices because of those two factors. So they have been trading in a tight band because of those two factors that I've just mentioned.
And I think it also links closely to the beef story, right? Because we didn't see that upward movement in beef, it really, if you consider the broader meat complex, that didn't allow huge scope for pork to really like we saw in the past. So I think that's also a contributing factor.
Of course, pork producers are constantly complaining about the feed costs. Did that play a role?
Yes, it did. I think if you consider soybean and maize, they are a huge contributor for pork feed. And what we've seen in the past couple of seasons is a little bit of some higher prices for those for those commodities that contribute to feed. So I think that has played a significant role in higher production costs.
Do you expect this stability to continue in 2025?
If I can interject and maybe just kind of provide my view on it. I think if you want to know what will happen over the coming months, you really need to go back almost all the way to 2019. So, or even before that, when margins in the pork industry was quite attractive. So we saw investment in production capacity, and that occurred from 2019 onwards. And then in 2020, we had COVID, market disruptions, very high grain prices in 2021. And so with that expansion in productive capacity, along with all of the uncertainty in demand and uncertainty around feed prices and input cost, we really saw huge swings in pork prices. So a lot of that have kind of filtered through the supply chain now. Consumption is probably evened out with that productive increase that we saw in 2019. So my sense is that we won't see those massive swings that we did in 2021 and 2022. And then contributing to that is also obviously because pork is so small, what will happen in the rest of the meat complex? So again, bringing back that beef conversation.
If we could shift the focus slightly to avian influenza, bird flu, it's a major concern across the globe. Egg prices in the US hitting record highs. We just saw the US now importing eggs from Europe because their egg prices have gone through the roof. How prepared is South Africa as we're heading to the colder months, Kenzie?
So maybe just to take a step back to really just put context to this price increase in the US, it's 97%. And it just highlights how crucial biosecurity issues are for the livestock sector and the broader agricultural industry. So as we move into the winter months, that's when the risk increases because then you get the virus usually travels through birds from Europe in winter months, and the infection rates usually rise as temperatures drop.
The risk remains, but what we are finding encouraging, I think 2017. Was the first significant avian influenza outbreak. And then again, the most recent one. And we have seen the industry stepping up and making plans. So importing fertilized eggs, et cetera, et cetera. So again, I think the risk remains, and it's something notable to kind of keep in the back of our minds. But we are more agile. We've learned from previous experiences, and we can potentially also learn from some of the disease outbreaks that we've seen in the US.
Maybe we can shift the conversation to mutton prices. I went through the APSA AgriTrends report, and I found it interesting that mutton prices hasn't spiked. And I'm wondering why. Sheep farmers have struggled with theft. They struggled with drought. Yet the prices haven't shot up. What's up?
So what's not up is definitely mutton prices over the last couple of months. So it's a global story. Australia is, or Oceania, or however you want to define that region, is the main sheep and mutton or ovine exporter. And the story there has really been, they've also been experiencing El Nino. We've seen flock liquidation that resulted in very high exports to China, to the Middle East, some of the markets that we are already operating in. And that depressed global prices. So parity prices for mutton and lamb went down. And that really weighed on our prospects as well. But it didn't go down to the extent that we've seen global or Australian mutton prices go down. So those issues that you were referring to did provide somewhat of a break to what we saw happening locally. Again, I think we did see somewhat of a rebound in the consumer's aptitude to buy mutton. So that could also have been a factor that offset some of the global conditions that we've experienced. But it's really a story of record volumes of sheep meat and even live animals being exported out of Australia that kept those prices very low.
Should farmers expect any major shifts in 2025?
Yes, so I think the weather has turned, right? So we could see a degree of flock rebuilding in Australia. So exports coming down from the levels that we've seen in 2024. And then locally, I think we can see that if we look at something like the GDP figures, there, if you look at this expenditure category specifically, expenditure is gaining momentum in semi-durable and non-durable goods. So that would start manifesting in lamb prices as well. So we are confident that from a supply side, there would be less out of Australia. And from a demand perspective, the South African consumer are in a better spot than they were last year this time.
That's a wrap on today's Livestock Market Insights. A huge thank you to APSA's Marilyn Lowe, Kensani Mashimbi, Zama Sangweni, and Ivor Price for their valuable perspectives. Remember to download the full APSA AgriTrends Autumn 2025 report for free at foodfromzanzi.co.za/AgriTrends. Stay tuned for the next chapter in our series, where we explore the shifting dynamics of South Africa's agricultural export markets.